The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. I'm Lydia El-Khoury, and today, and indeed for the whole of this show, we're going to focus on foster carers in Hertfordshire. Wonderful people doing wonderful work to help our community. So to kick off our conversation, I'd like to introduce you to John, who's joining us in the studio. John is a foster carer in Hertfordshire. John, how are you doing?
I'm very, very well. Thank you very much for asking. Yourself?
Yeah, good, good. I'm really looking forward to hearing about your experience as a foster carer. To start off, tell us about your journey. How did you become a foster carer? How did it start?
Well, I come from quite a big family, and I've got two brothers, a younger brother and older brother, who are both carers, foster carers in the private sector. And myself and my wife, we've got five kids between us, all left home. You know, I was listening to the way they were telling us about how they look after the children. And when you met the children through the couple of years we waited, it was clear that they were making a massive impact on their lives, giving them somewhere safe to make them feel part of a unit, part of a family. And you could see their faces, you could see how happy they were as they progressed. And I said to my wife, that's something I would love to do. I would love to try that. But what really kicked it off was my mum had dementia. And as a family, my brothers and sisters and I, we all took turns in caring for her. And one of the most humbling things is caring for, looking after your mum who cared for you. Do you understand what I mean? She gave everything to us. So to do that, it was wonderful. So, you know, to be able to go and pass that on and do that for other people, I actually thought of going into the caring sector. So I've got sisters who do caring in the caring sector. We decided to go to the foster network, go to a meeting in Stevenage, sit and listen to people who have been there for years, listen to the managers, and we were just awestruck of what they do and what they achieve. And I said, no, I can do that. I can look after someone. I can give them a good life. I can help the community, and that's what I want to do. So we sat down. We spoke about it. We spoke about it with my children because it affects the whole family. It doesn't just affect you. It affects the whole family. And we signed on the dotted line. And that was the best signing on the dotted line I ever did.
Oh, that sounds just fantastic, John. Your kindness just radiates through the microphone. And it is such a kind thing to do. And it's so lovely to hear the motivation, your motivation behind doing it. Do you think there was a specific moment and when you thought, okay, that's it, I'm going to become a foster carer, you and your wife together?
Yeah. It was when my mum passed, and it was sort of, I don't know, you sort of left in limbo. So I thought, no, I'm going to carry on. I want to go and I want to do things for people. And I'm, you know, because you were in that frame one, we did it for quite a while. We had to look after for a number of years. And when I talk about look after, I'm talking about she, you know, people with dementia end up being like babies. And so you've got to treat them like children. They don't know who you are. They forget you, but you still got to love them. So that did it. That's when we went and signed on. And I said, you know, I just need to keep doing it.
I'm so sorry for your loss, John. And losing your mother, it's never going to be okay, is it?
No, but it taught me a lot. You know, she taught us a lot as kids, but that taught me a lot as an adult as well. It really did teach me a lot.
And what a wonderful inspiration to become a foster carer. I'm sure she'd be very proud.
Definitely.
And how has the experience of foster caring? Tell us how far into it, when did you start, and how has it been?
We started as a team. You've got to be a team. We worked as a team for about 8 years now. We've been doing it. We're only the low level. There's people have been in it for 40-odd years, and they're the people you really got to admire. And, yeah, with about 8 years, we've had about four or five children in that we've looked after on and off and cared for. But I have got someone who's long term, a boy who's long term, and we're also looking after a young girl, a little girl who's with us for a while. And it doesn't matter who you look after, you just give them exactly the same. You've got to give them the same love and affection. You've got to give them like hope in the community, you know, hope that there is things out there for them. We spent it's a lot of privacy goes out of your life. I've got to tell you that happens, you know, your life is scrutinized. Everything you do, say, everywhere you go, everything. But it's a commitment you make because you're not doing it for money. You definitely don't do it for money. You do it because you know full well them kids need structure. They need help. And the families, it's not always the family's fault. They can't always, it's not their fault. It's not always the mum's and dad's fault or the co-parenting fault. It's a breakdown. And what we do as carers, we take care of those children while the families, if they can, build themselves back up again so that the kids can go back, if they can go back, to a loving family and where things can be worked out. I mean, they know that we're always here for them. So if it breaks down again, they know where we are. It is a very big commitment. It's a very big commitment, but it's one of the best things that you can do. If anyone wants to do it, it's one of the best things ever.
And it's, I mean, 8 years sounds like a long time to me, John. It is, I can hear that it's a massive commitment, and it's disappointing, you know, that it isn't rewarded financially as much, you know, it's money isn't an incentive for doing it because it should be, as well as being rewarded emotionally. But what do you think is the most rewarding part? You said money isn't a factor. What is it that you get from it that you can describe for anybody listening in?
It's seeing them children smile. You know, when they first come to you, all the children that we've had, when they first come to you, they're withdrawn, they're sad, because they've been torn away from their families. So they're sad. They are going to be sad. They're going to be upset, most of them. And they used to turn up on your doorstep with a black bag. And how, besides degrading, children do understand, they do understand that sort of thing. So what you've got to do is build them up. And as you build them up, you watch slowly as time goes on, and you can see that they're slowly accepting your help. And as they accept your help, they grow. And as they grow, they flourish, like flowers do. So you just see them grow and flourish, and then they're happy again. That's what does it.
That's lovely. It does.
Yeah. It just makes you so happy to see that. Even though there's a lot of hard times and you think it's never going to happen, you know, they're never going to get there. But deep down inside, you know, you've got to give that extra push. You have to give that extra push to help. And then most of the time it works. But then it's got to come back from the child as well. The child has to respond. If they don't respond and it doesn't work out, you know, then you just feel like the point where you just can't do anything else. So you've got to work out another way around, another strategy where you sit and talk and work out. Hence the reason you use the team that around you, like the managers and the experienced carers. You're just on the end of a phone. And this service I work for, if you don't mind me saying that, they are absolutely fantastic. Every single manager, every person I've worked with and spoke to, they're on the end of a phone and you can get help straight away. They're fantastic.
It's funny, when you said team originally, I thought you meant your family as a team, but you actually meant like the whole...
Everybody.
Wow, that's brilliant.
Everybody's a team. Once you're in there, so you're a massive team. You're like a giant family because you're all heading towards one goal, and that goal is to make them children, keep them safe, make them happy, and help them get on in their lives. That's what you've got to do with them.
That's lovely, John. And it's so great to hear that you've got the support from the Hertfordshire Foster Carer team. And we'll be talking to them in the second part of the show. And you mentioned hard times. And I think that's probably a big area of concern for anybody who's listening in, who thinks, yeah, I'd be totally up for changing young persons' lives. But how hard are the hard times? Can you tell us a little bit about it? Because nobody should go into this with their eyes closed, I guess.
It depends on the children you look after. Because some children, they'll accept what they're going through, and they will work with you. But there are some children that I've met and I've dealt with, and I've met with my family, that just they don't want help. All they want to do is that. Some kids damage things. Some kids make allegations. Some kids disappear and run off, but that's because they want help. So if you look at it like not what you're doing wrong, it's what's happened to them, it's done wrong to them, and they're just crying out for help. So when things go wrong, you ask for assistance, you ask for help. That's what the phone's there for. That's why people have got the experiences there. And plus, as an adult, you've got your life experiences to draw on. If you've had kids of your own, you know what it's like bringing the kids up. You know what it's like bringing up a teenager. all kids go through the same things. They'll go through the same spectrum and the upsets and the emotions. And all you've got to do is remember how your children were like that and how you were like that. And everybody's been through it themselves. You've just got to make sure you can sit back and think, right, take a breath, think about another strategy around how you're going to deal with this incident, this problem. Don't just think, oh, no, I can't deal with you. You can go. You've got to deal with it properly because that child is depending on you. They're pushing their boundaries to see, you know, are you telling them the truth? Do you really care for them? Do you really want to support them? Well, let's just test you out. And in my experience, the children I looked after, they push you to a point and you think, yeah, do you know what? He really does want to look after us. I've got a long-term lad of me and I'm caring for. He's, I won't go into it unless you ask me to, but he's just like one of our own kids. My kids call him brother and my sister, he's the girls call him brother as well. You know, it's just fantastic to have someone around, another person around that you can help. You don't mold them into another you. You mold them into them. You build them into them. And sometimes they will fall back and you're the only person there they can depend on to help them go forward.
If you're allowed to tell us about your foster son, we'd love to hear about him.
He's life limited. When he came to us, he was able to walk around and he's got a disability called Duchenne's muscular dystrophy, which is a life-limiting disability. He came to us at just before he was six and he was walking around football with us. Then over the last 3 years, he's wheelchair bound. We do everything for him. When I say everything, I mean everything. We had a house converted for him. We've got a mobility vehicle for him. Our whole lives evolve around him because everywhere we go, we have to you can't just go out like with other children. You have to go look in what if you're going to go to a restaurant or an event, you've got to make sure it's got access for wheelchairs, disability parking, toilets, disability toilets, access. Are they going to be just pushed out and not seen? So you've got another fight on your hands. But that fight is something you accept because you're doing it for someone you're caring for. So that's how I see the job I do. I absolutely adore it.
There must be an incredible bond between you and your foster son.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have a great laugh here. We have a great laugh. And if someone who's not your child lets you look after them the way we have to look after and care for him and bathe him and dress him, and you know, they've got to have a complete and utter trust in you. And that's my major role. You know, just to keep him happy while he's here, keep him alive, keep his...
It must be very difficult indeed, John, particularly if his life is limited. That must be,
yeah.
It must be heartbreaking.
Yeah, but he's a wonderful kid. Yeah, he's staying with us anyway. He's long term. He's going nowhere. He's ours now. He knows.
That's lovely. It's really lovely. And do you think, I mean, the word that comes to mind when I hear you talk about it is, you're extremely resilient, John, you and your wife, and patience. I mean, I really hear that the kindness and patience come over in your voice. Would you say they're important qualities for anybody who's thinking about becoming a foster carer?
They've got to be caring people for start. If you're just someone who just says, oh, whatever, don't care, don't bother, you've got to be able to accept that your life is going to change. Doesn't matter how old you are, your life will change. The people around you will change, your friends will change. But then you gain a massive new load of friends. You go to places, you get in groups, you meet people, you talk to people. It becomes it's a whole new universe. Everyone there is all going, heading to one direction. If you don't have that inside you, then I would say don't apply, don't go for it. Don't go through. You've got to have that push inside you and that care inside you to be able to want to look after children and care for them. It's a commitment that you've got to have. You've got to make sure you can accept. It's not just something, you can't just say, oh, yeah, I'll look after them for a couple of weeks. Just see. It's not. They're not a car that you try out for a couple of weeks. They're a life that needs to be nurtured. So I would just say to people, think about it. Go and talk to other carers first. Go to the meetings. Look at the online. There's loads of stuff online. The network put loads of stuff online for people to view and watch, and they have meetings all the time at Stevenage and they have different places to meet. They have open days, they have events, they have stalls. You can go and talk to the foster carers. It's what you need to do. If you're that interested, put yourself out and go and do it. But it's something that will impact your life.
Yeah.
In a lovely way, trust me.
in a lovely way. That's fantastic. Do you think it's for everyone? Okay.
No, it's not for everybody. There are people we talk to who say, I couldn't do what you do. No, but then that's why you're not a foster care and I am. You know, it's, no matter what job is, some people, oh, I couldn't do that job, I couldn't do that. But that's why you're doing it and we don't. Because you got that inside of you to be able to go and do that every day. Yeah, get up every day. You have to deal with the tears, the upset, the pain, the crying. You know, you deal with that. You deal with the sadness. You take it on board. And then you got to deal with that extra trauma that you get from that's coming, being pushed onto you. But that's why you have your wife, your partner, your husband, whoever you're with, you sit and talk. You talk it out. You discuss it. You don't build it up inside. Because if you build it up inside, that's when things break down. That's whatever the child talks to you about and whatever they're upset about, you got to deal with it. You're an adult. They're expecting you to look after them and deal with it. If you can't do that, then, you know, I wouldn't even bother. But there's lots of lovely, caring people out there who've got space in their houses. They've got space in their hearts. And they can go and do that.
And if anybody's listening in, John, and they're saying, you know what, you've absolutely struck a chord with me, and I'm sure there will be after hearing, you know, that just the moving testimony you've given to your role as a foster carer. If it struck a chord and they're thinking, you know what, maybe I could do this. Tell us what you do. You said go meet the groups for a start. What else do you think they should do?
Yeah, they go to groups because there's groups online. Mainly online, we went to the groups that once you become a foster carer, you link into them, you become linked into them. But going to the centre, like Stevenage Centre, contacting the fostering network, that's all it takes is a phone call. They'll invite you down to Apsley or to Stevenage, or they'll say to you, no, come and meet up somewhere, meet someone, go to a coffee evening. There's always something there for someone to do, if they want to put themselves out to do it. There are people who sit there and say, oh, yeah, we'll go and do that. Then they just forget about it because they've got other more interesting things to do, like buy clothes or go and do something like that. But you have to push yourself into doing it. It's no good saying, oh, I'll do it next week. Procrastination doesn't work. You've got to go there and do it. If you're going to say you're going to do it, go ahead. And it's been the best thing I've done. And I can promise you it's been the best thing I've done my whole life. Everything I've ever done, this caring for kids, looking after these kids and giving back to them is fantastic. I don't know what more to say about it. It's just the best thing in the world.
That's wonderful, John. And it's wonderful that you and your wife have taken this on and embraced the role so beautifully, so kind, you know, in such a kind way. It's been wonderful talking to you today. And thanks so much for sharing your experience of being a foster carer.
It's not a problem at all. Not a problem. I'll do it any day. I'll tell anybody anything, everything about it, every time they want.
Brilliant, John. I'm sure we'll have a few recruitments after hearing your lovely words.
Okay. Thank you very much for talking to me. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad I got it across.
Thanks a million, John.
Okay. All right. It's lovely talking to you.
You too. You too. All the best.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So we're going to take a little break on the Parents Show on Mix 92.6. We'll be back with more chat in just a few minutes. So stay tuned.
The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Thanks for joining us again on the Parents Show on Mix 92.6.
I'm Lydia El-Khoury, and today I'm really, really delighted to be joined by Greta Lund, who is service manager at the fostering service at Hertfordshire County Council. And we're going to be talking to her about the wonderful service they provide there. Greta, thank you so much for joining us on the Parents Show today.
Thank you for having me.
Greta, we'd like to hear more about the foster care service that Hertfordshire County Council runs. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Sure, it's my pleasure. So we're a large fostering service and we are a local authority fostering service. And we have currently 400 foster families offering a variety of foster homes, which is short-term fostering, long-term fostering, sleepover care, emergency care and care to young people aged 16 plus. And we also have a number of kinship foster carers who care for children who are connected to them in some way or another. And our foster carers care for children newborn up until the age of 18 and post leaving care as well.
That's quite a comprehensive service.
And how does someone become a foster carer, Greta?
So if anyone wants to apply to become a foster carer, has been thinking about it with their families, the best thing to do is to give us a ring. You have a lovely recruitment team who would take phone calls, so you can email through. And the first thing they would do is to give you information on the phone and then arrange a home visit to talk through the different fostering options. And a lot of foster carers get put in touch with one of our experienced foster carers to get some more information about their experience. And if all is looking well and you want to continue the journey, then you would be put onto a pre-approval training course called Skills to Foster, which will give you a lot of information about the role, the expectations, and another chance to meet more foster carers who are doing the role, and also to meet care experienced young people to hear about their experience of being fosters.
So if a parent is listening in and it appeals to them, but they're a little bit nervous, can you decide during the process that it's not quite the right thing for you?
Absolutely. So this is why we have, it's quite a lot of stages through the process. So the first part is that someone will come to your home, speak to you, and if you have family living at home, to talk through the different fostering options. It's very non-committal at this stage. You will speak to someone, get more information. You can be put in touch with someone who has the experience of fostering children. Then the course I spoke about earlier, the Skills to Foster course, is another part of the process. And again, there is no commitment at this point. And if you then want to become a foster carer, you would then be put into the assessment process, which again, you haven't signed up to anything at that point. It's quite a detailed process. And although most people at this point want to progress to become a carer, it is completely up to anyone if things change in your circumstances or you change your mind.
We had a lovely, lovely chat with John about his experience. And I think if you're drawn to this service, there's something very special inside you. So I would imagine most people, when they make that call, really have a strong gut feeling that it's something that they want to do. I would say people don't come to it completely cold. Is that the case?
Yeah, a lot of people would have thought about it for a long time and would have spoken to people, maybe met someone who's had the experience of either fostering themselves or being care experienced. And I think for a lot of people, it's about timing in their lives. It's for some people, it might be that their own children have moved out and they feel it's time for them to support another child. So I do think you're right. It does take a special type of person. But I also think timing is important in that. And I think some people will kind of had heard about experiences that really bond them to go and explore further.
And talk to us about eligibility. What are the criteria? How do you decide?
So, we have foster carers from all walks of life, and we don't have very few kind of limiting criteria, I guess. So we have foster carers who have been parents themselves or currently also has children living at home with them. We also have foster carers who come through who don't have parenting experience. The only criteria we have is that you need to be over the age of 21. We're very open service, and we want carers to come through from different religious backgrounds, cultural backgrounds, and sexuality as well.
That's lovely to hear how open the service is. I mean, that gives a lot of flexibility for people who are thinking about applying, and particularly that you don't actually have to have been a parent. It's great. I mean, because it gives opportunities to people to start a whole new life, a new family.
Absolutely. And sometimes it is, we've had people come through without parenting experience who are now, some are better, fantastic foster carers who are providing a lovely kind of environment for children who are in care.
So are you at the moment undersubscribed, oversubscribed? How is it looking?
So Hertfordshire, as well as the rest of the UK, we are in a fostering crisis. We have, here in Hertfordshire alone, 1,000 looked after children and only 400 foster homes. So we are in a huge need of more carers. And we're doing a lot of work for the moment, trying to kind of think about creative ways of supporting people to have children placed with them. So we do have a lot of support on offer for people who might think that, okay, there might be some limitations in terms of what they can offer. We really want to try to support anyone who wants to think that they would be able to come and help us at this moment.
So it's great to get the opportunity to flag this up with our parents show carers or parents to plant a seed, maybe think, particularly, I suppose, if your kids are coming towards the end of school, maybe heading off to university, you're dreading that empty nest syndrome. So it could be the perfect solution.
Yeah, it is. And I also think that a lot of our foster carers start out with offering sleepover care. So they offer a child maybe monthly sleepovers and they get to know the child in that way. And some carers continue to offer sleepovers and other carers think, okay, actually it's really working for us as a family and they will at some point potentially have a child placed with them full time.
Brilliant. It's a great way to kind of dip your toe in and just get a feeling for the whole process. Now, we know there are challenges, Greta, and there's no point in pretending there aren't with any process. Of course, there are pros and cons. Can you tell our parents a little bit about the challenges that you are facing in your work at the moment?
I think our number one challenge is recruitment of foster carers, that we just don't have enough foster homes. We have children needing homes who can't, for whatever reason, live with their birth families. What we believe is that children would be best placed in a family environment in the local area. And that is our biggest challenge for the moment, to be able to find enough homes for the children who need to live in a family environment.
So it's urgent.
It is very urgent.
Yeah. And if we can talk about what it does for families to engage with foster children. We had, again, a lovely chat with John before we spoke to you about his experience of foster caring. And it just, the reward seems immeasurable, really. Can you talk to parents a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I feel very privileged to work in the service with so many wonderful foster carers. And we have, every day I hear about stories about how much support children are offered through the foster homes. And we also know that that a lot of children are, when they leave care, are talking so warmly about their experiences of being cared for within foster homes. I mean, John is a very kind of good example of him and his wife, the kind of their fostering journey and how the amazing support they have offered to the young person in their care, and how they have in some ways changed their lives in order to support him and his needs. And it's just an incredible kind of story. And John and his wife, they're really, really passionate about their fostering roles. Another example that comes to mind is a 13-year-old girl who we had struggled to find an appropriate home for a long period of time. And it was really difficult to keep her safe. And due to her traumatic experiences before coming into care, we were struggling to offer placement stability. So she got to know, one of her placements, she had a support worker who she built an amazing relationship with. And this support worker came forward and she wanted to be assessed to care for this girl, and she did. And we approved her, and she's now has lived with this lovely lady for 10 months, and she's thriving. And it's a completely different girl to the girl that struggled so much 10 months ago. And I guess it just shows the importance of that relationship, that for any one of us, we need to have relationships with people around us. We need to know that people care about us. And for this girl, having someone to come forward and claim her as such was just a life changer for her.
What a beautiful story. And it's almost feels a bit fairy tale-ish, doesn't it? Like that her support worker ended up being her foster carer. And I mean, the beauty of talking to you and talking to John is just what a huge role kindness and humanity and caring plays in the work that you do. And I think particularly in the world we're in right now, it feels a bit turbulent and bumpy. It's just so lovely to hear your stories and John's experience around foster care. So Greta, can you talk to us about the kind of qualities you're looking for in a carer? John gave us an idea, but I'd love to hear it from you too.
So I would say, I mean, there's many, but I would say that warmth, nurture, love and tolerance is really, really important. And you mentioned earlier kindness. And I do think, I mean, all the children who come into care would have had some experience or trauma in their lives. And what they need is to live with foster carers who have an understanding of how that trauma is impacting on them and their lives. And for the child to be brought up within a loving and a nurturing home environment.
So it's lovely human qualities you're looking for. You're looking for the best of people, really, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, And I think anyone who is kind of driven towards fostering often holds those qualities as well. So I think we can see that in so many of our foster carers, exactly about how they open up their homes and hearts for children. And not only the foster carers, but their families as well. We have some foster homes where they have their own children living at home and the children play such an important role in supporting the child. It becomes their foster brother or sister and how important that is in the family as well, not only the foster carers but their children as well.
And that's a really important example to give, because I suppose some people might think that it has to be when your children have left home or before you have, you know, your family have fully grown. But it can be at any stage in a family's life, or indeed people who don't have a family yet.
Absolutely. And we do have, as I said earlier, we have foster families in all sorts of different kind of situations, whether they have no children at home or children at home, or their own grown up children also play a big part in the foster child's life.
And so tell us a little bit about what financial and other support there is available through the service. John said it's like joining a family. So no pressure there, Greta, at all.
So in terms of payments, we do pay all our foster carers, and we are competitive and we do pay a weekly payment to foster carers, as well as an allowance to look after the child. We have a lot of additional exceptional payments as well, if needed, and payments towards any types of support needed, holidays and other payments. In terms of support, I am really, really proud of what we offer to our foster families in Harpeter. And one of the things that I guess I'm the most proud of is that we, a few years back, introduced foster family support model called Mockingbird, which is basically supporting families a bit like an extended family network. So we link up 10 foster families who are supported by a foster carer who is called a hub carer, and that carer offers emotional, practical support to all the families, offers sleepovers to the children and monthly activities. Everyone gets to know each other, and it becomes a big kind of network of support for the children and for the foster carers. And it's just absolutely wonderful to go to those events to see the children who have got to know the other children in the hub really well, and those relationships also forming between the different families. And we're actually, we have 9 hubs in Hertfordshire for the moment. We're very proud to say that we have the most Mockingbird hubs in the UK for the moment as a fostering service, which we're really, really proud of.
That's fantastic. Lovely news for Hertfordshire. Well done. So just to wrap up our chat today, if there are parents listening in, Greta, and it's striking a chord, or it's just, it's making them think about applying or having an initial conversation, what would you recommend they do? What steps should they go through?
I think give us a call. It's really informal at this stage. Give us a call, have a chat with one of our lovely recruitment officers, or you can visit our website, www.hertfordshire.gov.uk/fostering, to find out more. And we will come out. We can give you any information you like at this stage. As I said, it's very informal, but please give us a ring.
Great stuff. So go to the hertfordshire.gov website, fostering, have an initial call. There's no obligation. It doesn't tie you into anything. It starts a conversation, by the sounds of things.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Greta, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today. Thanks for coming on the show, and thanks for telling us about the great work at Hertfordshire County Council Fostering Service.
And thank you for having me.
Thank you to Greta and John there for those really moving interviews. Now, to close the show, let's hear from the 13-year-old girl mentioned in Greta's interview.
I'm 13 years of age and I got moved into residential in 2020. It was a very traumatic experience in my life. I felt so unsettled and I felt like I had no one around me to call my family and had no school life due to moving all the time. Until summer 2024, social services made a decision to put me under the foster care team, and I've now been in foster care for 7 months. It's completely changed my life. I still do have my days where I'm down, but I'm also a lot more brighter from the girl I used to be. I go to school now and have an education life, and even though the people I live with aren't my blood, I still see them as my family. A year ago, me probably wouldn't have thought that I'd be as happy and successful as I am now. I really think we need more foster carers for the children that can't live with their family, because every child still deserves to live in a family home, and every child also deserves to be cared and loved for and not to feel unloved and unsettled. I really hope we can make a difference in the care system and provide every child with a homely environment and a future that holds nothing but success.
The Parents Show on Mix 92.6, sponsored by Raiden Solicitors, award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.